Worship, we are broadcasting our service live via Facebook, and the idea, especially in the summer, is that those who can't get to church can at least be connected to our church through the internet. And this morning it makes me a little bit more nervous because my own parents have been tuning in from time to time, and I'm about to give an illustration that is based on science. And my dad is a retired science teacher, and so I'm a little nervous that I'm going to say something that would be heretical to his ears, and then I'll hear about it later. But even if it's wrong, the illustration still stands good for us. And the illustration is this, that sitting, maybe not right where we are, but if we were at sea level, there is pressure upon your body. Atmospheric pressure is coming at your body from all angles, as I understand it. It's the nature of air and how it acts like a fluid in on us, in a sense. So if you were sitting at sea level, the atmosphere is putting about 14.5 pounds per square inch upon your body right now. Now, if we're a little above sea level, it's a little different. It's a little less than that. But right now, assuming we were at sea level, there is 14.5 pounds per square inch coming in at your body from all angles. You're enduring that pressure. If you were to go, say, to the ocean and start diving underwater, every 33 feet that you go deeper, you can add another 14.5 pounds per square inch upon your body. Again, coming in at you from every angle. And as you go deeper and deeper and deeper, the PSI, the pounds per square inch, becomes greater and greater upon your body. If you were to go to the deepest level in the ocean, you would experience more than 15,000 pounds per square inch upon your body. You would be absolutely crushed by it. It would make you small. You would just be crushed by this pressure that you would experience down in the deepest parts of the ocean. Now, I mention this because in this passage from Romans chapter 5, and I'm looking really at the first five verses of that chapter, Paul talks about suffering. And as he talks about suffering, the language he uses is to talk about suffering as an external pressure coming at you kind of from all sides. Now, often in Scripture, when especially in the New Testament, when the writers talk about suffering, oftentimes they are referring to it in terms of persecution, Christians being persecuted. But here, it seems to be different. The pressures that Paul is talking about are anything that could afflict you as a believer. Anything that might test your faith and test your resolve and your belief and your trust in God, these sufferings that Paul talks about are anything that could test that. And I'm sure at times, there are times in your life where it feels like that pressure is as crushing as the deepest part of the ocean, where it's just going to suffocate you. It's going to break you, and it's going to tear you apart like you're in a submarine and it all of a sudden bursts open and the pressure just comes at you from every angle. This is what Paul is talking about in this passage about suffering. I was thinking about this even this morning and thinking about major characters throughout Scripture, especially the Old Testament. And I can't think of one right now who doesn't go through some kind of pressure, some kind of suffering, some kind of thing that tests the resolve of their faith and tests their belief in God, their Father, and their Lord and Savior. Here's some examples, and maybe you have felt like one of these people at some point in your life. Looking back in Genesis, we have Abraham, one of the great patriarchs of the faith. He was given promises by God that he would be the father of many nations, and that his descendants would be more numerous than the sands and the sea, and that he would be given a land for his people to dwell in. But for Abraham, these promises were often far off, and he had difficulty at times waiting upon the Lord to fulfill these promises. His wife had difficulty at times waiting for the Lord to fulfill these promises. It tested him. It tested his resolve. Maybe you feel like Abraham. Or maybe you feel like a young woman named Hannah. Hannah appears at the beginning of 1 Samuel, and she's a wonderful character, though we don't see her very much in Scripture. Hannah desperately wanted children, but she was barren, and in this she endured all sorts of mockery for not being able to have children. And there's one scene in Scripture where she goes to the temple, and she's crying, and she's praying and laying her heart out before the Lord, so much so that the priest that sees her thinks that she's drunk and talking out of her drunkenness. Maybe you feel like Hannah. Or maybe you feel like Joseph at times, who certainly was tested in his faith. Joseph was accused of injustices. He was beaten down by his own family. In fact, his family sold him into slavery. And Joseph, at one point, is accused falsely of rape. And so he's thrown into prison. And the whole time, I'm sure he's wondering, where is God in all of this? And in this, his faith is tested. And he is put under the pressure, crushing pressures of these false accusations. Maybe you feel like Job. Job has a whole book written about him, a long book. Many think that it might be the first, the earliest written piece of Scripture. Job suffered all sorts of pressures and sufferings, and some of it at the hands of, of God himself. Job isn't privy to this discussion, but at the beginning of Job, God has a conversation with Satan. And Satan comes to God and says, I see this righteous man here. I bet I can get him to not believe in you anymore. I bet I can get him to curse you. Allow me to test him. And God gives Satan permission to do this. So Job goes through all sorts of sufferings. All his children die in horrible accidents. He loses all his property, his cattle, all these things. He endures, his wife becomes kind of scornful and bitter against Job. Job has all sorts of friends that come to him and basically tell him, you must have done some horrible wrong for God to do this to you. Curse God and die. Job also experiences all sorts of illnesses and painful boils and things upon his flesh. It is all pressure. Job, of all people, must have felt like he was at the bottom of the ocean. And these pressures were coming at him from all sides. He was experiencing all sorts of pain, and he didn't have an answer. He wanted an answer from God, and he just didn't get it. It tested his resolve, his faith. Maybe you feel like Job. Or maybe you feel like Paul himself, who wrote this letter to the Romans. At one point in one of his writings, he'll talk about this thorn in his flesh. And we aren't privy to what that thorn is. Some people think that it was blindness or some other thing like that, but He cries out to Jesus three times, asking that Jesus would remove this thorn in his flesh, and Jesus simply answers him, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, Paul, you're going to have to live with this thorn in your flesh. And that too tests Paul. Maybe you feel like one of these biblical greats who have gone through pressures and sufferings, and it feels like you're being crushed at times. It's, to me, a comfort to know that they go through the same tests that us average Joes do too. It's also comforting for me, and I hope for you too, that the Bible doesn't skirt around the fact that there's sufferings, that there's pains. We don't always get an answer as to why, but it doesn't skirt around the fact that it exists. Oddly, in this passage from Romans, though, Paul will talk about how in these pressures, these sufferings, we can rejoice, or we can be glad, we can gladly suffer. And it's not exactly like how it sounds, like, oh, yay, I'm going through a suffering today. This will be so much fun. It's not like that. We gladly and rejoicefully go through these sufferings because as people of faith, we can look forward to a time where they will no longer be. This passage is about hope and grace. And in this passage, we see hope and grace from three perspectives. First, we see about when we were introduced to this grace, this hope. And that introduction happens when Christ comes to this earth. He dies for sinners. He is raised for sinners. He is ascended into heaven for sinners. We are introduced to the grace of God in that historical event and in the historical event that happened to you, which is your own baptism. You are introduced to the grace of God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ in a moment in history. And strengthened by that moment in history, we can look forward to a future where we do look forward to that the glory of God and eternally dwelling with God in a place and a time where these sufferings will not be in existence anymore. There are no tears in heaven. But Paul is writing to a people who live in the present. And Paul says to you and me and to his original readers that this grace is something that we presently abide in. We presently stand in this grace and this hope of God, strengthened by that past event, strengthened by the event in the future. And as we presently dwell in these pressures and in these sufferings, strong at times and not as strong as other times, we go through these things, and by God's Holy Spirit, we endure them. And Paul says that as we endure these things, these pressures that create endurance, we are also given a proven character. In other words, God lays claim to these sufferings, these pains, these pressures. It doesn't mean he created them, doesn't mean that he forced them upon you, but he lays claim to them, and he takes them, and he uses them for his own good purpose, to produce endurance, to produce tested character in you, all to make your faith stronger. So that thing that we endure in the present makes that thing that we long for in the future more tangible, stronger, and brings us forward to that. The Lord loves you. And because he loves you, he has begun a work in you. And because he has begun a work in you, he's not going to abandon that which he began. He will be with you in all sufferings, pressures, and pains. He will see you through to the end. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Father, we all go through pressures and sufferings. Help us to have faith in you, to trust in you, to trust that you can lay claim to anything and use it for your own good purposes. In all of our pains and sufferings, create stronger faith in us. Help us to trust you and to trust that you will make all things right and new. And we pray this in your